Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. We're on a Smart Talk road trip today to the York County Heritage Rail Trail at Hanover Junction Station. Walking or biking, jogging, riding horses on Pennsylvania's many rail trails are some of the state's most popular outdoor activities. There are several benefits besides the exercise, like transportation, economic, and education benefits. We'll talk about all of those benefits on today's program. Joining us in the first segment of today's show, Diane Krippis, who is Division Chief for the Pennsylvania DCNR's Bureau of Recreation and Conservation, Tom Sexton, Northeast Regional Director, Rails to Trails Conservancy, and Silas Chamberlain, author of On the Trail, A History of American Hiking. Thank all of you for being on the program today. And we do have a live audience here with us at Hanover Junction Station. First of all, I have to describe this. Just a beautiful location. I mean, the rail trail itself is gorgeous, but there's a lot of history at Hanover Junction, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Of course, what Hanover Junction nationally is probably known best for is President Abraham Lincoln stopping here on his way to Gettysburg to make the Gettysburg Address. We have a photograph of that and what it looks like today on our website, WITF.org. So, well, probably not there yet, but it will be a little bit later. But we encourage our audience, if you have questions or comments, step right up to the microphone and engage our audience as well, or I should say our guest as well. Diane Krippis with DCNR. Rail trails, we're going to be talking a lot about some statistics and the benefits a little bit later in the program. But I can start by saying that Pennsylvania is one of the nation's leaders when it comes to number of rail trails, probably mileage of rail trails. We do know that we have as many projects going on with rail trails as any state in the country. Obviously, rail trails, very popular in Pennsylvania. Why?
So Pennsylvania has a long, long history of loving the outdoors. And I think we'll hear from Silas later that a century of hiking, a century of just enjoying the beautiful landscape that we have here. And it was the stars aligned here in Pennsylvania when at one point in time we had over 12,000 miles of active rail lines. And over the last three decades, a lot of those rail lines were abandoned. And we had very visionary leaders who seized the opportunity to acquire those abandoned lines and then turn them into trails. For the last 35 years, we do a Pennsylvania Outdoor Recreation Plan, and the top activity is walking. So Pennsylvanians love to walk, and in 2014, now they love to walk with their dog. So the trails provide a great opportunity to walk and bike and bird watch, which are all really popular activities in Pennsylvania.
So it's only been since 2014 that dogs were allowed on the trails?
Well, that was the first time that we put that in our survey.
Ah,
so okay. We added dogs, dog okay. walking. And if you go on a trail today, you'll see a lot of dogs.
Tom Sexton, with the Rails to Trails Conservancy, you're the Northeast Regional Director. I talked earlier in the introduction about the benefits of rail trails. Conservation is one of the big ones. Talk about what your organization does and why it's so important.
We try to set the environment for trails to happen nationally. And in the 10 states I work in, we're doing that by telling the benefits, the health benefits, the recreation benefits, the heritage preservation benefits, and also one that's sometimes doesn't get enough play is just the transportation benefits of going from A to B, going to your friend's house, going to the post office, going to school. More and more rail trails are providing that activity. A lot more in the urban areas, some in the suburban areas, even in rural, though. And that's kind of an undercounted activity right now.
I think I have to admit that years ago on Smart Talk, when we were talking about rail trails and transportation was mentioned as a benefit, that I saw several people raise their eyebrows not thinking of it, because when they think of transportation, they're thinking of, okay, you get on the interstate or you drive to work. You may take the train or the bus or something like that, but you don't think about maybe riding your bike on the rail trail or walking from here to your friend's house, as you gave an example. But, are there people who are thinking more along those lines?
There are. We have kind of slipped away from a balanced transportation system in a lot of ways. People think of highways, and they don't think, oh, I could commute to work and actually have a smile on my face because I'm on a bicycle or because I'm walking or some other mode. And we're getting there. Pennsylvania, the state, PennDOT, is doing great things to balance and give what Americans and Pennsylvanians really want is the freedom to choose what option they want. And more, you do have the option of not taking your automobile.
Well, rail trails actually are part of the PennDOT budget nowadays, right?
Yes. The state is a leader in many ways, and we talked about those a few of those indicators before, but some DOTs, departments of transportation, have not really embraced this in some states, but in Pennsylvania they have, and DCNR has had state money put towards rail trails, and also PennDOT has done that. Most of the money in the last few years has really been from Congress and given to the states. But there's a few states, and Pennsylvania is one of those, that has really stepped up and generated their own money, mm-hmm. which is key.
Silas Schaeberlein is the author of the book On the Trail, A History of American Hiking. You have far more extensive resume than that, where you've been working with not just rail trails, but other transportation issues as well. But the title of the book, I have to admit, On the Trail, A History of American Hiking, that's taken in a whole lot. So here's kind of a broad question, Mr. Chamberlain. It's Dr. Chamberlain, right?
Yes, okay. Please, sir.
I know you're joking. A history of American hiking, that seems to be taking on a whole lot, but when does a walk become a hike?
That's a great question. It goes back to the transportation question as well. Really, in the early 19th century, you start to see this shift, especially in urban areas, from people who had to walk out of necessity almost every single day to people who were being freed from walking because of changes in public transportation. First, these big omnibuses, these carriages pulled by horses, then streetcar networks, trolley networks, eventually the railroad, in the early 20th century, automobiles. And with each change in transportation, there's this group of people that doesn't need to walk to communicate, for work, to trade, to do their business. And they're able to think of walking in a new way. And it's not something that you have to do. It's something that you actually enjoy doing. And at the same time that those changes in transportation are happening, walking is being invested with some other kinds of meaning. So the transcendental movement is talking about hiking as a spiritual activity. The romantic painters are depicting these beautiful landscapes through which people would want to walk. And the health movement is really picking up, and people are making the connection between being an active person, getting out of the factory, getting out of the office, and walking during your free time. And all that adds up to hiking emerging as this thing that is distinctively different than walking.
Mm-hmm. I think back on, and I go back to Diane, what you were saying earlier about why Pennsylvania, rail trails have proliferated so much. You know, and Silas, you can weigh in on this as well, that 100 years ago, maybe even longer, Pennsylvania was known for its railroads. I mean, that was one of the things we were known for. I mean, the largest passenger rail system in the country, the Pennsylvania Railroad, one of the biggest companies in the entire country, in the entire world, was here. So the infrastructure was here for railroads. So how did they go from railroads to trails?
So, Tom, do you want to take that one?
Well, in Pennsylvania, I think... and it's forgotten, but we have a lot of them here. Their volunteers stepped up in those early years when I began almost 30 years ago. It wasn't necessarily the state or the state agencies or the municipalities or the county. It wasn't government. It was volunteers who could see the future, and they had a rail trail in their backyard or in their community, and they started to advocate for it. And that was really unique. I mean, what is it, Tennessee, that's called the volunteer state? I think it should be Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So I applaud all of you in the audience, because I know a lot of you are the volunteers. Now it's more mainstream. The government agencies see it as a part of the infrastructure of the state, and they're putting the funding into it. And I get concerned sometimes because we're sort of graying out with that volunteer base, those people that began a lot of those rail trails 30 years ago.
I saw a survey. Go ahead, we're going to say
this. So I would add that the Bureau of Recreation and Conservation that I work for has been supporting rail trails since 1973. So that was the first evidence that I found that staff at the Bureau of Recreation and Conservation were very creative, very innovative, and supported those bold counties. It was Lackawanna County, Northampton County, Lebanon County were early counties that stepped out in this, and that there was funding and support from DCNR for over the past 30 years.
You know, nowadays it is hard to drive anywhere in Pennsylvania where you do not see, whether it's a rail trail, but a trail, a hiking trail somewhere. I grew up in Chester County, drive by places along the Brandywine Creek in Downingtown. Never saw that before. You know, this rail trail, the York County Heritage Rail Trail, will go all the way to York. Will be one of the longest in the state at 28 miles when it's finally completed next year. Point being that, and one of the big ones is, you know, along the Schuylkill River in Philadelphia. And I know there are plans for where you could walk from Lebanon all the way to Philadelphia uninterrupted on a rail trail, on a trail. I mean, that's amazing how far we have come.
Yeah, I think we've gone from rail trails being seen as sort of a luxury to something that's pretty much taken for granted or seen as a necessity. And in my day job with the York County Economic Alliance, we do a lot of workforce recruitment. And when people are looking all across the country for places they want to move, either as an individual to take a job or they want to build their business or expand their business, they're looking for communities that have rail trail networks. So in the 21st century, if you're going to be competitive for the jobs of the future and the businesses of the future, you have to have a trail network. Or people are going to look at your county or your region and say they don't have a high quality of life, they don't have alternative transportation options, where am I going to take my kids, how am I going to get in my daily run or my daily walk, how am I going to walk the dog? So it's really become not just a luxury or a recreation thing, but it's really an imperative from an economic development perspective.
All right, and let's talk about some dollar figures. I know that you place dollar figures on this at DCNR. What are we talking about the economic benefits when it comes to rail trails?
So we have worked with the Rail Trails Conservancy for over a decade, and we have done the economic benefits of probably a dozen trails across Pennsylvania. And when you add them up, it's about over $100 million a year in spending by visitors who come to use those rail trails. Those trails that are 50 miles or greater, folks are coming to stay there. They're staying at bed and breakfast. They're riding 20 miles one day, going to the north, 20 miles the other day, to the south. And they're spending money in those communities. And we can see through the Great Allegheny Passage that I call the mother of Pennsylvania's long-distance trails. That's a 150-mile system, and their last economic benefit study put them at over $50 million a year in economic spending.
Mm. So it is, and is that growing, I would assume, since
Absolutely.
We have more rail trails?
Yes. So we are hoping, and we're supporting the DNL trail in eastern Pennsylvania. So their goal is to get to 165 miles. So hopefully by 2022, they will have 165 miles, which will be Pennsylvania's longest shared use trail system passing the Great Allegheny Passage. So we'll have one in the east, a destination trail in the east, and a destination trail in the west, and then all these great regional trails like the York Heritage Trail and the Lebanon Valley Rail Trail all throughout the rest of Pennsylvania.
We'll talk more about rail trails in just a moment. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. We're on a Smart Talk road trip today from the York County Heritage Rail Trail at Hanover Junction Station, a historic location. We'll talk about that history a little bit later in the program. A couple things I want to remind you of, and this is very important. Smart Talk road trips get their support from Roof Advisory Groups, and we do thank Roof Advisory Group for providing that financial support to WITF and to Smart Talk road trips, make these road trips possible. Also, and I know that the people listening and a lot of our audience here live at Hanover Junction would be interested in this. Discover one of America's most treasured biking destinations with The Great Ride. It's tonight at 8 on WITF-TV. The documentary explores two connecting trails, the CNO Canal Towpath and the Great Allegheny Passage linking Pittsburgh to Washington, D.C. Join us for The Great Ride tonight at 8 on WITF-TV. It's funny how that just kind of worked its way in there, Diane. Diane Krippis was the division chief for the DCNR's Bureau of Recreation and Conservation. Tom Sexton, Northeast Regional Director, Rails to Trails Conservancy. Silas Chamberlain, author of On the Trail, A History of American Hiking. We have a live audience. If anyone in the audience would like to step up to the microphone, ask a question, make a comment, feel free. Microphone's right here. We're ready to go. Something I did want to ask about, though, earlier when we were talking about volunteers, I saw a statistic, and probably could bring this up in the second part of the program. We're talking specifically about the York County Heritage Rail Trail. But a survey taken that 80% of the people who use this rail trail are over the age of 35. Is that consistent with what we see throughout the state?
So I would say yes, that the rail trails are flat, and they're easy systems.
So what are you saying, Diane?
Well, I'm saying for those of us, including myself, over 50, the baby boomers love rail trails. But we are trying to, what's happening is that the millennials and the younger kids love mountain biking trails. And what you're increasingly seeing is that there is land along the rail trails, like along the Capillary Greenbelt. There are 10 miles of mountain biking trails so that the younger kids can connect from their home via the trail system, go ride the 10 miles in the woods, a single track trail, and then come back on the main route to get back home.
Well, the reason I ask that, because when we're talking about volunteers, and Tom, you said that a concern is that volunteers is that we're graying out. 80% over the age of 35, are those under the age of 35 who are now mountain biking, riding their bikes, you know, doing things where there are hills? Will they make that transformation over to rail trails?
Well, we hope so. For the health benefits, to name one, I think you're seeing, especially in urban areas, if you've ever gone to the Schuylkill River Trail, the Schuylkill Bank section of that, when you come out of 30th Street Station, Amtrak, and you look across the river, there's that two-mile trail. It's so busy. That demographic is different than maybe a suburban or a rural. So, and you mentioned that, Silas, about communities have to have these kind of amenities if people are going to move there, if businesses are going to stay there or open. And the nice thing, going back to the economic issue is rail trails don't move because there's a tax break somewhere else. They're there pretty much forever. And, you know, unless we find some other mode besides walking, they're going to be here for a long time.
Dr. Chamberlain, I have to think that one of the unique parts of this, when we're talking about the history of rail trails, is that connection between rural to maybe suburbs, but into urban areas. I mean, this trail in particular will go to the city of York, that someone who lives in the city of York could conceivably walk or bike, jog all the way to Hanover Station and beyond.
So that's one of the neatest things about rail trails. Because of the old economic function of a rail trail, it connected different places together. And so now there's the promise of restoring that connection. And rail trail is a unique kind of public space. If you think about it, what other kind of public space connects different municipalities together, different kinds of places together, rural, urban, suburban, and creates a space that everybody can use? And so that's a really great thing to introduce into a community. And that's why rail trails are sort of like the new town square in many 21st century communities, because it's the one place where people congregate and sort of mix with people that they're not regularly around. But I would add that that inner demographic nature of rail trails is also something that makes rail trails difficult to build sometimes. Because although, you know, everybody here today celebrates rail trails, we love rail trails, there is this undercurrent that still exists today that's probably minimized now compared to what it was 20 or 30 years ago. But the idea of folks who intentionally left urban areas, settled in the suburbs, only to have the stand of weeds and trees and ballast behind their house turned into a public space connecting them back to the very place that they just moved from. So there is this sort of counter narrative in rail trails that has opposition about private property rights, perceptions of crime. But the more that we tell this story about the benefits that rail trails are bringing, I think it helps weigh that counter narrative.
When you say concerns about crime, I mean, I'm assuming that these are safe.
Oh yeah. And what people have to remember, and sometimes it's overthought, but these are just wide sidewalks. These are skinny parks. And maybe they're in the front of your house, maybe they're in the back of your house, but when a railroad corridor is inactive or abandoned, it's not totally managed. There's not necessarily somebody looking after that. That's the time when you might get the dumping and littering and people doing things that you shouldn't do on that corridor. It's overgrown, et cetera. It's when it then is recycled into a rail trail that it becomes managed and much, much safer. And once people see that, they feel much better. It's a lot of issue of privacy. They feel like, oh, my privacy is going to be taken away. But we're seeing just the growth off the charts in terms of rail trails. So it's not stopping the growth for sure.
Well, you know, I have to say that I've been around people that when they see a cigarette butt or they see a piece of paper on a rail trail, they get kind of mad about it. It's like, okay, who would do that? You know, first of all, I don't know what you're doing on the rail trail smoking anyway. You know, it kind of offsets the benefits, the health benefits. But if you have to go out on the rail trail to smoke, don't throw your cigarette butt on the ground. But I've seen people who have said, why is that there? Why is that empty beer can there? That people take pride in this. They have an expectation of it being clean, it being safe, it being peaceful. And when that's disrupted, it's like, okay, they take it personally.
So if I can add, I think Pennsylvania's rail trail system has been built on the back of volunteers. So we built an interstate system from volunteers who care about these places and who spend thousands and thousands of hours repairing the trails across Pennsylvania and picking up the trash. So we all take it personally when somebody throws out a beer can and then we come by and we have to pick it up. So we do care about our trails here in Pennsylvania.
All right. So I'm not going to ask the question of what, if you could identify Pennsylvania's best rail trails, but what are Pennsylvania's most popular rail trails and what makes them unique? Three of you. We're having a conversation here, so whoever wants to jump in.
I'll start in the urban environment, and I mentioned the Schuylkill River Trail.
Which I'm dying Schuylkill to get banks. There.
You should go. Sometimes at 5 o'clock, and there's some overpasses that you can look down on the trail, or even when you're on the trail, and you will see not only is that a trail, but it's a greenway, and it's a river trail because you have the Schuylkill right there. On the other side, you have an active railroad line. It's actually a rail with trail. And then you'll see so many other users, types of users. You'll see joggers and walkers and bikers, but you'll also see people pushing their baby in the strollers. You'll just see so much different activity there. And just in terms of raw numbers, just that mile or two, that's the most.
And it is unique, too. It is in Pennsylvania's largest city. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what are some of the others? And I'll ask you, Dr. Chamberlain, too, but Diane.
So I mentioned the Great Allegheny Passage, I had the opportunity to ride the Great Allegheny Passage with my daughter after she graduated from college. So there are just huge viaducts, the Salisbury Viaduct, the Keystone Viaduct, the Big Savage Tunnel. To go through a tunnel and then to come out of the tunnel, looking over the countryside of Pennsylvania and Maryland is just the most spectacular view that you could ever see. So there's very few places in the world that you can ride a mile, a tunnel, through the mountains and come out on the other side with a spectacular view.
Mm. not Chamberlain.
So easy, best rail trail, York Heritage Rail Trail. So play the hometown crew.
Here. I had a sense. That was an easy one. You have said another one while you're sitting
sure,
here.
Sure, right. But I'll second Tom on usage of the Schuylkill River Trail. I think that section of the Schuylkill banks is something like 1.5 million uses a year. That's similar to the use that the entire DNL trail gets, and that's, you know, closing in on 165 miles long. So it really does vary on location. But I will also say that it's almost like the Appalachian Trail. Whatever your local section is going to be your favorite because you go to it all the time. And so I think if you ask people in different counties around Pennsylvania, you're going to get a different answer from just about everybody.
And everybody seems to have their favorite, too. But you mentioned the Appalachian Trail. How is the Appalachian Trail? I know that people can, it's an obvious question, but there are differences between a rail trail and a hiking path. You know, certain places where you walk through the woods. What are those differences?
Well, for one, no bicycles allowed on the Appalachian Trail. It's a footpath. It tends to emphasize the more scenic, more rugged terrain. There's definitely some overlap, you know, in that there's key points in Pennsylvania where, for example, at Lehigh Gap, the DNL Trail intersects with the Appalachian Trail, and you have all this potential for connections between the two. And you have a lot of overlap in users, because I don't think the fact that one's flat and one's rugged dictates whether you're going to like one or the other. I think we got a lot of people in Pennsylvania where we love all of our trails.
And another big difference is that the rail trail really doesn't preclude anybody. Only some people can go on the AT.
Yeah.
But if whatever your abilities, whatever your age, you can use a rail trail pretty much.
Mm-hmm. So, Diane, what's the future look like for rail trails? I mean, it seems to be very bright, but what's the future? What kind of plans does the state have in working with local organizations?
So Pennsylvania has a goal of a statewide network of trails for recreation, for health, and for active lifestyles. And we have a goal of a trail within 15 minutes of every Pennsylvanian. And our rail trail system is the spine. So our interstate highways of trails are the Pennsylvania rail trails. And we are looking at connecting those trails to where people live so that you can take your bike right out of your garage and get, you know, go along a bike lane if you have to, but access the trail from your garage, not having to put your bikes on the back of a car and drive to the trail, because the healthy choice is the easy choice. So we want to make trails as easy as possible for Pennsylvanians, all Pennsylvanians, so it's not just a select few that have a car, so that every Pennsylvanian can enjoy a trail within a safe walking distance of their house.
I want to thank our guest for being with us today, Silas Chamberlain, author of On the Trail, A History of American Hiking, Tom Sexton, Northeast Regional Director of Rails to Trails Conservancy, and Diane Krippis, Division Chief for DCNR's Bureau of Recreation and Conservation. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
If you're just tuning in, we are at Hanover Junction Station on the York County Heritage Rail Trail. We're going to be talking about this particular trail in just a moment, some of the history, how this has been upgraded, has been built, has been expanded in just a few minutes. But I do want to tell you about some upcoming programs that we have coming up on Smart Talk, including our next Smart Talk road trip is June 6th. It's the 75th anniversary of D-Day. And we're going to be doing, we're going to have a Smart Talk road trip traveling to Gettysburg from the Eisenhower Farm. General Dwight Eisenhower, of course, the architect, the supreme leader of the Allies in World War II. And so we will be at the Eisenhower Farm for a live broadcast on June 6th. What day of the week, Heather, is that? Do you know?
Thursday.
Okay, Thursday, June 6th. Thank you very much for having been updated on the calendar. So you can go to WITF.org/events and RSVP to go to that road trip as well. On tomorrow's program, seems like we're talking a lot about history here recently. Well, we're getting into that time of year. Preserving historic documents is something that we will be talking about tomorrow as well. Coming up later this week, yesterday we had, there was a special election in the 12th Congressional District, which includes North Central Pennsylvania, big part of the WITF listening area. We had the Democrat running yesterday. Tomorrow, we have his Republican opponent running for that congressional seat on the program. Anytime that you'd like to weigh in beforehand, you can go to our website, WITF.org, and just click on Smart Talk, and you'll see what's coming up. You actually can leave a voicemail or voice memo if you're not going to have time to get to a telephone. So we're back at we didn't leave, but at Hanover Junction Station, back on the air at the York County Heritage Rail Trail. And I encourage our audience, if you'd like to step up to the microphone, ask a question, go right ahead. But for the second part of our show, I want to talk about this rail trail in particular. This particular rail trail will be one of the longest in Pennsylvania when it's completed next year. There's also some history here. President Abraham Lincoln visited Hanover Junction on his way to Gettysburg before delivering his Gettysburg Address in November 1863. And it may be one of the few places where President Lincoln had his photograph taken. In fact, there is a museum here at Hanover Junction Station that has a lot of photographs, including that famous photograph of Abraham Lincoln standing just probably about 15 feet to my right is where President Lincoln was standing when that photograph was taken. Joining us is Gwen Luce, who's the executive director, and Frank Kempf, who is an authority member with the York County Rail Trail Authority. Thank you very much for being with us today and actually having us here at Hanover Junction, which has been a lot of fun so far, and I know we'll continue to have a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
So what makes this rail trail unique?
Well, I think it has a lot of things in common with the rail trails you've already spoken about. We think it's special, though, because it has, for example, so much history. The Northern Central Railway was a major corridor during the Civil War, so there's a lot of history there. And today, when visitors come to the Heritage Rail Trail, they will find that we have seven structures here listed on the National Register of Historic Places. You can visit Hanover Junction, where we are today, but this is only one of two train stations. We have another totally restored train station in New Freedom. So I think it's the history. It's also the nature, because it's managed by our York County Department of Parks and Recreation. So you see beautiful wildflowers, you see bluebird boxes, you see beautiful gardens like we have here at Hanover Junction. So it's that combination. The other thing that makes it special is that the Heritage Rail Trail, it takes you places, because it passes through a lot of little towns. It takes you to Glen Rock, takes you to Seven Valleys, it takes you to New Freedom, and it takes you to York. So those are all things that make it very special.
Just what you described, and it makes total sense that this was a railroad line. Yes. And all the places you just mentioned were stops on the railroad.
Yes.
So, and not all rail trails or not all trails have that.
Exactly, but it's inherent in a rail trail. And I'm sure we have lots of historians that study railroads in Pennsylvania. This one actually originated, the Northern Central originated in Baltimore, and it went all the way to Sunbury. So you can imagine the connections there between a growing urban area like Baltimore and on the way to Sunbury, where you had, through Pennsylvania, you had lots of products that they wanted, lumber, coal, agricultural products, and they all wanted them in the big urban areas like Baltimore. So that was all inherent in the Northern Central.
Mm-hmm. Any idea at its height how many passengers would come through here?
You know, people do have those statistics, but coming past Hanover Junction, there were many a day, and they were for different purposes. There were passenger trains, there were freight trains, and those freight trains were bringing, you know, in raw products and also finished products. And I was thinking earlier this morning, there was also twice a day a special mail train. And that's how people had their mail delivered. And there was a way that that train actually didn't stop here at Hanover Junction. It slowed down. And they had a way to hook the mail bag onto a pole.
Wow.
As it was slowing down. So there were trains constantly. And the Northern Central was two-tracked. So they could have a northbound and a southbound train.
Yeah, that's convenient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a busy place.
Yeah, it sounds like. Frank Kemp, how'd you get involved? I mean, I know that you had a career with the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and when we were talking about transportation, these are like two extreme opposites when it comes to transportation.
Yeah, they sort of are on opposite ends of the spectrum. Prior to, while I was still working or while I was still getting a paycheck, I guess I'd say, I run and biked on the Heritage Rail Trail, and as well as other linear trails, linear parks in Pennsylvania. I did a lot of work in the Pittsburgh area, and they have a great system of trails out in that area. But anyhow, what I really feel like I offer here is the Rail Trail Authority, we build trails. That's what we do. After we've completed the trails, this Heritage Rail Trail, it actually is maintained and owned by the County of York, York County Parks. So we're continuing to build, push more trails. We have a trail now in development. It's called the Hanover Trolley Trail. That's on an old trolley line, on an old Med-Ed corridor. We're actually in the process of acquiring a railroad, 8.5 miles of a short line railroad that used to run from, I think it's Hagerstown to York. We're interested in buying a portion that would go from Spring Grove to Hanover, and then another portion east of Hanover. So those are exciting things, and building trails is really what, that's my passion.
Something that you just mentioned, you said you're interested in buying some more land for a rail trail. Where's the money come from?
Well, almost all of it comes from grants, and this is essentially an all-volunteer organization, as many of the trail groups are in Pennsylvania and around the country. But we're always kind of like volunteer fire departments, I feel. We're trying to raise money to keep our mission going. And that gets harder and harder as things get tighter, money gets tighter. DCNR has always been a great source of grants. We have to cobble that together because there's almost always a local match. So we have to find another source that maybe will participate in some portion of the project, fund some portion of the project that DCNR is not funding. It's an exercise. I mean, it really takes somebody that really knows the grant business in order to make that happen and make the trails happen.
Gwen Luce, when you're talking about that, does government, does the public, and I mean, obviously there's a segment of the public that uses these rail trails on a regular basis, but does government, do a lot of taxpayers understand how important, or maybe I should put it this way, understand the benefits of rail trails and where their money is going?
Well, I think definitely yes, and more so every year. As you reach out to different populations and invite them to visit your rail trail and they have firsthand experience, and I think we here in York County are very fortunate because our county commissioners have responded to the will of the people in wanting trails, and in particular in supporting the Heritage Rail Trail. And so government definitely has a role, and I think we're very pleased and very privileged here in York County that our local government owns the Heritage Rail Trail and that our county parks manages it so well. But county parks tracks every year the hours that volunteers spend. So volunteers are a huge, huge part of helping to maintain the trail. And they staff the train stations. They have a friends group just for staffing the train stations. We have master gardeners from Penn State that maintain a lot of the gardeners. So it's really a team effort between government and volunteers.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WYTF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. We're on a Smart Talk road trip today, the York County Heritage Rail Trail at Hanover Junction Station. Smart Talk road trips are supported by Roof Advisory Group, and I want to also pass this along because I know a lot of people interested in this program would be also interested in the television program tonight on WITF-TV. One of the most treasured biking destinations in the country, The Great Ride, tonight at 8 on WITF-TV. The documentary explores two connecting trails the CNO Canal towpath, and the Great Allegheny Passage linking Pittsburgh to Washington. The Great Ride tonight at 8 on WITF-TV. Our guest during this portion of the program is Gwen Luce, Executive Director of the York County Rail Trail Authority, and Frank Kempf, who is York County Rail Trail Authority member. We have a live audience here. We'll be taking a question or comment here in just a moment. We're talking about the history, what makes this rail trail unique. And I have to tell you, I always say this, and people get tired of hearing it, I know, that whenever we have a topic like this, I always feel like I should be, you know, getting up and walking a little bit. I think we're going to do that afterwards. We're going to do I don't know how long. I said a short hike. Someone said, are you going on a little hike? And I said, what makes you think it's going to be little? You know, that's a kind of a relative thing. But anyway, we'll be doing that afterwards here. And I see that we do have an audience member. Ma'am, your name and where you're from.
My name is Carla Farrell. I'm a community planner here in York. And I'm so appreciative of the county and their support of the rail trail. I use it all the time. In bringing infrastructure to rural areas such as, you know, there are certain municipalities that might be a little leery about having this in their municipality. And I just wanted to mention that bringing infrastructure to rural areas such as roads and public utilities does encourage suburban sprawl, but developing abandoned rail trails that pass through rural areas might actually help to preserve the farmland and open space. When people get an opportunity to appreciate the countryside, there's a better chance to grow that preservation effort.
And I think that a lot of people would agree with that, because you could just picture that in your mind. You'd like to comment on that?
Well, particularly here in the Heritage Rail Trail, if you take your time and read some of the signage, and we have a lot of interpretive signage around here, it talks about farmland preservation. When our visitors get to see, I mean, within a mile of Hanover Junction where we sit today, there's a small farm with beautiful cows grazing in the field. You begin to realize how special they are, and your little 10-foot path is not really disturbing the agricultural work that's being done, but it's bringing visitors in there to see the beautiful agricultural lands we have here, and that they're worth preserving. So I think the two work very good together, preservation and rail trails.
We have some facts, some rail trail facts. The York County Heritage Rail Trail facts about the rail trail. Mm-hmm. Users residing in York County, 61%. Now, when I first saw that number, I thought to myself, okay, yeah, that's a good number. That's 60% of the people on the trail are York Countyans. But I saw it also as a good thing that 40% are from outside of York County that are traveling from another county or maybe walking into York County, but coming from outside the county. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. And if you come down to the rail trail anytime, go to one of the trailheads, you'll see out-of-state license plates all the time, particularly on weekends, and particularly people that are coming in with their bikes, maybe they're staying overnight or not. One of the things that was talked about earlier about the economic benefits that are generated by a rail trail or any other recreational facility, but one of the things I don't think we want to lose track of, we had a ribbon cutting about a year ago, and the speaker at that ribbon cutting talked about the joy of just getting outside and enjoying it without any economic benefit necessarily attributable or tied to it. But there's value there. There really is value. And Silas talked earlier about the value to communities to have an accessible and easy to get to rail trail or trail of some sort in their area. We can't lose sight of that with all the statistics and all the numbers.
I know there are a lot of people who are echoing and thinking exactly what you just said. Gwen handed me a cap when I arrived this morning and said, play outside. There was a day where we didn't have to encourage children to play outside. But, you know, we've probably all seen those news stories about surveys that have been done or research that has been done of how much happier people are when they're outdoors. And they're taking advantage of the outdoors, in whether it's just a walk in the woods or, in this case, a walk in a rail trail. So there are so many benefits to it. Favorite section, Hanover Junction here to Brillhart Station. Where's that, Gwen?
Mm-hmm. Brillhart Station is north of us, probably, I would say, I'm guessing probably about 8 miles north of us here on the way to York. I'm sure it's selected for that because of the historic structures along the way, but also it's pretty much uninterrupted. You do go through our famous Howard Tunnel, which is a beautiful area.
That's north?
Mm-hmm, that's okay. North of you, north of here. And there's very few road crossings, so it's more serene. You get to see a lot of different environments as far as farmland, woodland. It's very quiet. It's very peaceful. So you come there and you'll be happy, I promise.
We have a picture of the tunnel on our website, WITF.org. It's all constructed in 1868, so there was some history there, too. Sir, your name, where are you from?
My name is Lenny. I'm from York, Pennsylvania. And I just want to say that I really appreciate the Heritage Rail Trail. It was one of the reasons we actually, my wife and I, moved to this area. Mm. But I just wanted to find out if the Rail Trail Authority is involved in the Grand History Trail. And if so, where is it in process?
Yeah, the Grand History Trail that Lenny's talking about is a big, long loop that, I'm going to say it starts in York, but it could start anywhere because it's a loop. But anyhow, it goes down through the Baltimore, Washington area to Annapolis, turns west, and ends up coming up through Gettysburg and back through Hanover into York. Is it 150 miles or something?
I think in that neighborhood, yeah.
Okay, it's very long, and obviously it would take multi-state cooperation to get it done. But two of the components of that would be the York Heritage Rail Trail, at least from York south to the Maryland line, and also the Hanover Trolley Trail. Lots of different organizations in that loop are advancing things to try to make that Grand History Trail happen.
I know there are a lot of people who are looking forward to that. That's a big project, but a lot of people that are looking forward to that. Thanks for your question.
Thank you.
We only have about 4 minutes left, and I can't leave without talking about the history. Abraham Lincoln, on his way to Gettysburg, stopped here at Hanover Junction on his way to Gettysburg. Tell us about that. What do we know?
Well, there's been a lot of research done about that. Most of the research that we depend on was a journal that was kept by his private secretary. And we've had local historians, look at those journals, look at many of the famous photographs by Matthew Brady. And we do know that being that this is a junction, that we had the Northern Central coming up from D.C. and Baltimore, they had to change trains here in order to get to Hanover and on to Gettysburg. So this was the logical means of transportation at that time. So we know that Lincoln did stop here briefly on his way to give his famous address in Gettysburg, and then on the return trip, he also stopped here. His third stop here was in his funeral train. So those are the three documented times when we know that President Lincoln passed through Hanover Junction.
There is a famous photograph right next to, it's a museum now, but what was it at that time? That was a train station?
This was an active train station. It had a waiting room, a ticket office. It also had the telegraph office, which was very important during the Gettysburg campaign, was to keep those telegraph office operating.
And this was also a target of Confederate troops leading up to Gettysburg because it was such an important transportation hub. Mm-hmm. That photograph that you mentioned, you have that photograph here in the museum.
Yes, we do.
But there has, I don't want to say it's controversy, but it's never been confirmed that the man with the stovepipe hat was Abraham Lincoln, even though it looks very much like him, correct?
That's correct. We do know that he was here, whether that photograph actually depicts Lincoln being here, that's up for question. But we know,
Why is it up for question?
Well, you can imagine what is left is the photograph, and there's no DNA on the photograph. And we do know that for security reasons, there were Lincoln lookalikes that were leaving D.C. at the time and traveling in different locations for his own protection. So we have a photograph. It's a Matthew Brady photograph. So we know it was a famous event, or he would not have been here.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just kind of think that Matthew Brady wouldn't have taken a photograph of a fake Lincoln.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
We agree with you.
Yeah, and the footprints of where President Lincoln stood in that photograph is painted on the floor over here.
His
footsteps. And he had big footsteps. But, hey, we had a great time here today. I want to thank both of you for being with us today, Gwen Luce and Frank Kemp from the York County Rail Trail Authority. Anyone who would just enjoy this location, I know everyone would enjoy this location, but the weather is going to eventually get better. And, I mean, today it wasn't too bad when the sun was out, but I want to thank you for being with us today.
You're quite welcome.
I want to mention that Smart Talk Road Trips are sponsored, are supported by Roof Advisory Group. Again, coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll be talking about preserving historic documents, and that is on tomorrow's Smart Talk, so be sure to tune in. I'm Scott Lamar. Have yourself a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.